make it in the weather. The season brings colds and stuffiness and sickness, so make sure you want to keep those guys in prayer and make sure that they get, you know, healed up, you know, of whatever it is they're suffering with, and also staying safe in the roads, you know, being cold as it has been with the snow and the slush out there. It gets kind of slick, you guys know that. Also want to remind you guys, we have communion over here, so anytime during worship, feel free to step over and grab communion and spend some little more extra intimate time with the Lord. And this morning, as I was asking God, you know, what does he want? What does he want our service to open up with this morning? And he gave me a scripture that, you know, it is the most popular scripture. It's John 3:16. And it's about giving. And God has given us everything, and he's given us a son as our savior. And one thing in this season, it's easy for us to get caught up in busy and Christmas shopping and buying gifts. And, you know, we think of giving as in Merry Christmas, here's the gift, but it's a lot bigger than that. What he was saying to me was, that's like an external gift. There's a detachment from you in that gift. You get to give it one time, you walk away, and that's it. You know, there's nothing. There's no more obligation to that gift that you've given. It's done. But what he's given us is eternal, and he wants us to check our internals, our heart, because our heart is an eternal, and our spirit is eternal. So we consistently receive that gift of Jesus, and it's a relationship that he desires, that he gave his son for us to have that relationship with him. And it's not just a one-time deal. It's not just thank you, Lord, I give my heart to you, Jesus. I accept you into my heart, and that's it. And you go on living your life. There's a relationship to that. You know, a lot of us here have, you know, whether it be a spouse or a loved one, a parent. Imagine going to your parent or your spouse one time saying, okay, I love you. And leaving it at that and disconnecting and coming back to join them for an hour a week. That would be a pretty sad and dead relationship. It'd be very dry. And I think one thing that God wants for us is not to be distracted by what's going on, but to be drawn to him by his goodness. And how can we even recognize and acknowledge his goodness if we don't even start to spend a little bit of time with him? If we're so disconnected from him, then we don't even have an opportunity. We don't give his goodness an opportunity to draw us to him. In John 3:16, it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." Now, the scripture is very, very big. It's a very high level. He loved the world. He loves his creation. He loves the universe. He loves everything. And in that, it's easy for us to get, I guess, caught up in the magnitude of how big the universe is, how big the world is. But we can be bold and say, "For God so loved me that he gave his only begotten son." We can fill in that blank, the word world with our own name. So we can say, you know, "For God so loved me, David." You can say Zeke, say Tara, Panda, George, Sally, Karina, Hope, everybody. You can fill in that with your own name. So God so loved you, he gave his only son. "For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn me, but that that I might be saved through him." And as we go into worship, examine our hearts, examine our desire, our motive, our relationship, and see what kind of relationship do we have with him. Is it just this 1 hour a week? Is it this 1.5 hours a week? Is it when we're having hard times, when we're struggling, when we're tried with situations? Because he wants us a lot more than that. And if our heart is not for him, then try to open it up and give his goodness an opportunity to draw us. So I just encourage each and every one of us to examine our hearts and to give our heart to God. Give him an opportunity to show his goodness. So Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, so much for this day and for this morning, for the time, for our health and our safety in getting here, God. And Lord, we lift up those that are home and ill in the hospital and ill at wherever they are, God. Lord, we just pray your peace and your blessing, God. We thank you for your new mercies every day. We pray that your love will just rain and shower down over each one of us, God, and each one of them. Your healing hand, your healing angels will be out at work on your behalf, God, for your perfect will. Lord, we pray for safety for each and every one of us and everybody that's traveling, God. We just thank you, Lord, so much that you draw us by your goodness, Lord, and that it is not by our works that we are saved, but it is by what you have given. Lord, I thank you that it's our heart that you seek after, that you desire, our spirits, Lord. I pray that they could be drawn to you this morning, God. Pray that they could be opened, that any hardness on our hearts will be broken off, God, and that we can just enter into this worship, Lord, with you on our hearts and the distractions of this world set aside. So, Lord, I just pray your blessing over this worship, over this time, and over this day. We thank you so much in the name of our Lord Jesus.
Over death, and you are worthy of Fill our hearts. Let our shout be your anthem, your renown fill the skies. We are here for you. Make no mistake. Yes, we are here for you. Let your word, let your word. Jacob went to sleep in the desert on a comfortable pillow, right? No, it was a rock. And when he had a dream of the ladder. We all know the story of Jacob's ladder. Of a ladder ascending from heaven to meet earth, or from earth to heaven. And he woke up and he goes, "Behold, the Lord is in this place." He didn't wake up in a palace and go, "Behold, the Lord is in this place." He woke up with a hurt neck, with an ear that was ringing because he slept on a rock all night. He goes, "Behold, the Lord is in this place." And our God, who's so rich in mercy, he didn't make a ladder descending down to choose who he was going to call up. He came down in the form of Jesus. We just got done celebrating his birthday. And he's the ladder that ascends from earth to heaven. He came down here to make a way for each of God's children, all you and I, to ascend. Even in that desert place, we can call out, we go, "Behold, the Lord is in this place. The Lord is in this place. Yeah, the Lord is in this place." No matter what season we're facing, no matter what obstacle, know that the Lord is in this place. Wherever you go, he goes. The Lord is in this place. We welcome you with praise. We welcome you with praise. Almighty God of love, be welcome in this place. We welcome you with praise. We welcome you with praise. Almighty God of love, be welcome in that every. Let every heart adore, let every soul awake. Almighty God of love, be welcome in this place. We welcome you with praise. We welcome you with praise. Almighty God of love, be welcome in this place.
Your love, I will trust you.
in your goodness, kindness, faithfulness, persist through the night. In your goodness, kindness, faithfulness, persist through the night. In your goodness, kindness, faithfulness, persist through the night. In your goodness, kindness, faithfulness, persist through the night. And I will trust you all. trust you. Let every heart adore, let every soul awake. Almighty God of love, be welcome in this place. Let every heart adore, let every soul awake. Almighty God of love, be welcome in this place.
Let's give Jesus a little shout, clap, whistle. Thank you, worship team, myself included. If I can do that.
Yeah, you can.
I'm so glad everyone's here today. I hope you guys had a very Merry Christmas. I can't believe David. I don't think he wished everyone a merry belated Christmas. But no, I'm just glad everyone's here, that you guys showed up, and that you guys still love Jesus. The holidays can be challenging, we know. We have family that make us want to not know Jesus so we can beat them up. Amen, Moses. But no, all jokes aside, I'm glad to see all you guys. I love you guys. So, I believe we have Pastor Mike preaching today. Everyone give a round of applause for our wonderful Pastor Mike. But if you guys don't know, Gaylene's dad has been in the hospital for a few days at least now, since Wednesday, Tuesday, Monday, last week. 14 days. So I know, like David said, we got a lot of people that are sick, but he's really fighting. And the doctor's report's not good, so if you guys just join in prayer for that family. Might as well just pray right now. What do you guys think? Father, we just come into agreement with your will this morning. And like Jesus prayed, not our will, but your be done, you know. Your will be done here as it is in heaven, God. And we just come into agreement with that this morning. We just thank you for what you're doing. We don't understand it, but like we're just singing about, I will trust you regardless of those things. God, we just speak peace and joy over this family in this challenging time facing the devil. Let's just be honest. And we know, Jesus, that you have a plan here that's far greater than anything we can see. And we just speak life over the family, and that you would use this situation to draw hearts near to you. And God, we just thank you for Dan right now. We just ask that you have your way, whatever that looks like, in Jesus' name. Amen. So, do we have any children? Adam? That would like to go hang out? Oh, sick. But she still showed up. Let's get a round of applause. Yeah. Adam, you want to go hang out? All right, dude, I love your coat. Was that for a Christmas gift? That's tight, dude. Repping the Seahawks. Are they going to win? What time do they play?
I don't know.
1 o'clock, right? 1 o'clock. They're already in the playoffs, so what matters, right? No, let's stay on a roll, win every game. Including the Super Bowl, right? All right, well, Father, you have your will in these children, too. And we love you, God. Obviously, these guys love you, too. They're here week after week to meet with you, not just because Mom and Dad are here, but because they're hungry, too. And we just thank you, God, for what you're doing in their lives and in their schools because they're there. And we just pray a mighty blessing on them today as they learn and draw near to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Without further ado, the lovely, delightful Pastor Mike Lindell.
So I've got a PowerPoint, so. Hey, there we are. Can you hear me now? You can hear me now? That was Pastor Gay's title, Can You Hear Me Now? She has been staying at the hospital the last 3 nights, and so she's short on sleep, so if you think of Pastor Gay, please pray for her for strength. She doesn't want to leave that area because, you know, sometimes in these situations, you know, minutes is all you have. So her and her sisters are staying there. Her brother's just now in 15 minutes being picked up in Pasco. So we're believing that he will get there before Dad goes to be with the Lord. Dad has, he looks like he's just on the edge, and then he gets a little better. So it's just, you know, it's one of those waiting games. I mean, it's possible that the Lord could touch him and he could be healed, but everything looks like he's getting ready to go and be, as I was telling somebody the other day, upgraded. How many know that when we leave this life, we're upgraded? We're upgraded like we've never even imagined to be upgraded. And it's not like just putting new parts inside of the old machine. This upgrade is a total transformation. It's one that you and I have great hope in, especially when, as we get older and we keep looking in the mirror, less hair. I do it purposefully, but there's truly less hair up here. Moses, yeah, he's checking it. Zeke, you have a little less hair, but I see that that's all purposeful, right? Yeah, exactly. Or the gray or the aches or the pains. Anybody else relate? Aches or pains? I mean, even seeing the younger ones now, I think Tim was saying that, I'm getting old. It's like, oh, come on. Our bodies, yeah, exactly. So it's a process. But today's message, per Pastor Gay, is called Can You Hear Me Now? And it's not a Verizon commercial, even though it would be perfect to have that guy's picture there. I said, no, it's too corny. I'm not going to put the guy's picture there. But what it's about is, oh, it's cutting off. Will that size up anymore? Can you right-click on that? Hang on a second here. Okay, well, that's okay. You should be able to see the him. So Mark 7:16, if anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. That's what that says, him hear, cut in half there. is it full screen? From okay. I don't know if this is going to be a problem for the rest of it, so, huh? We're good? Okay. He who has ears to hear, if anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. So if you have ears to hear, let you hear. So what is this saying? Because I was thinking about, you know, all the truth that's in the Word, all the realities that we've learned up to this point. Is it enough for us to live holy and righteous and fulfilled lives? I believe it is. So what is the disconnect? What keeps us from constantly walking in an abundance of heaven all the time? I believe it's what we've really heard, what we've let come into us in such a way that we let it fully take full, I guess, possession of us. It's like a truth. Do we understand all the truths that are in the Word? No, obviously we don't. There's new mysteries to be, you know, understood all the time. I'll read a scripture and I'll say, oh, I never saw it like that. But is what we know now, if we had heard it, now if you're a brand new Christian right now, I agree that probably haven't heard everything you need to hear. But if you've been saved a while, we probably have heard with our ear everything that we need to be who we're called to be. But what is it that stops us from that? It's what we do with what we hear. I was thinking about this, and I have a terrible habit when people are talking to me, especially if someone has said something to me prior, or if I see somebody walking, I tend to be like a little ADD. I like to call it, I have a focus gift, but I can really focus if I intend to. But the problem is I can be focusing on one and then I can easily focus on something else. And so needless to say, I can check out. And I do this worst of all with Gay. And so she will be telling me something and maybe I just received a phone call or maybe she said something. Maybe at the beginning she said something. I'm starting to listen. But when she started to listen, now I'm no longer hearing. I'm listening, but it's like, wah, 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 wah. Anybody else? Men, you've got to relate to this. The wah, wah. And it's like you're shaking your head and you're listening, but it's like you're not hearing. You're not gaining understanding of what they're saying. And you're shaking your head and you know, and they think it's all good. They understand. You know, and then they go away and they find out later on, why didn't you do what I asked? When did you ask it? You were shaking your head, yes. Do you understand me? Yes. You know, we don't understand a thing, you know. And I think that's easy to take, I guess, possession of. We don't understand much as men, but as compared to women, I believe they're given the gift of understanding. Okay, Mark 7:16, if anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. Oh, there we go. Revelation 2:7 says a little differently. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So, is this talking about our physical ears? Because, I mean, if it was all up to our physical ears when our wife was talking to us or somebody important, you know, at your work, you know, they're telling you something you need to know. How about a father telling his son, you need to do this way. And he's saying, yeah, yeah, yeah. And later on you find out, why didn't you do it that way? I never heard you. You know, anybody else hear those things? Yeah. Zeke's laughing. He says, that's my MO. It's like, but the point being is that when we have an ear to hear, what it means is that we've opened up our ears and they go to our heart. We allow it to penetrate all the junk and the noise of life, all the busyness, and we purposefully focus on allowing it to enter into our heart. So he who has an ear to hear, you could almost hear this say, he who has a heart that's opened, he who opens up his heart for understanding what the Spirit says to the churches. So Matthew 13:19 has an interesting communication to give us about hearing. It says, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who receives seed by the wayside. This is the parable of the sower of the seed, some on rocky ground, some on shallow soil. Some in weeds, and then some also in good soil. And I believe this is the one who was not able to basically receive it at all. And what was it that was keeping this individual, or the individual who is the seed, their heart, from getting this is understanding. And understanding is an interesting thing because getting understanding or having understanding requires us to purposefully think about something. It requires us to analyze something. It requires us to weigh something. Because to have understanding means that you're almost building what you're hearing to the place where you get a picture of what's being said. Now, this is not good for most because most in churches just listen with our ears. Very few of us will take something and then start applying it in a way that they're building it in a way that they say, okay, now I get what that's saying. A good pastor, a good teacher, they give you an illustration. That's not always my best qualities. But an illustration can help paint a picture for you, kind of like when I was saying, when I'm talking to my wife, and unfortunately she's communicating something to me, and later on she's frustrated because I wasn't hearing. I didn't open up my heart. I didn't focus all my attention. I let something she said or something that happened distract me. So if you look at this, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches it away, what was sown in his heart. So it's really about what we let happen in our heart. Are we letting the weight of the word hang with us? Are we letting the truth of the word penetrate? And only you can answer that. I mean, all of us, like I said earlier, I've heard a lot of things, and I believe if we walked in those truths, that reality, we would be seeing different lives. So let's take a look at this word here. The word here is the word, it's like a cow, I think it is. Properly to hear or listen. Figuratively, to hear God's voice, which prompts him to birth faith within. We'll see that in Romans 10:17. A cow is the root word of the term, and we lost it, but it's acoustic. It's where we get the word acoustic, which is what acoustic is, sound. Acoustic system is a sound system. So hearing is the process of letting the sound of something come in, to listen. Now, hearing, though, isn't enough. Like all of you are sitting here today, hearing the messages is not enough. Even going back and just re-listening to the messages, that would be good, because a second time you'll probably get a little bit more. But still not enough. What you have to do is gain understanding with what's being said. Now, some people will talk about things that you just do not have a grid for, and it's very difficult to get understanding, even if they give illustrations and talk to you about things. But there's other stuff that you've received that you can get understanding with, but you have to purpose to do it. It's up to you. It's nobody else's, I guess you could say, a responsibility for you to get understanding than yourself. Even God can grace you with the ability to get understanding, but you have to desire that. So if we see here, Romans 10:17, so then faith comes by hearing, and that's that word, a cow, or however you pronounce it, and hearing by the word of God. Another way to say it, faith comes by listening to the sound of the voice of God, hearing by the voice of God. And we know that faith is what is necessary to what? Please God. So if we're not hearing, and I believe that that hearing and hearing by the word of God, that faith is when understanding comes. When understanding comes, guess what follows it? Faith. Matthew 13:19. No, I know. I'm just putting it up there again. You're like, I think he did that one. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes. So hearing the word of the kingdom is important. But if you don't understand it, then the wicked one's going to come and snatch it away from your heart. So what is understanding? Understanding is the word synemai. It's sin together with hemai, which means put to send. So with sending or with put with, properly it means to put together, join facts and ideas into a comprehensive, interlocking whole, synthesize. Put facts together means to arrive at a summary or final understanding, complete with life applications. So for you, to keep from having the enemy steal the word in your heart, you have to get understanding. And where does understanding come from? I believe understanding truly comes by coming before the Lord and having him or being graced with the ability to continue to process something. And I think, was it Glenn or David, you started off by saying giving God an hour a week or, you know, 2 hours or 3 hours or maybe an hour a day. That right there is going to make it really difficult to process things that are going to transform us and change us. We were having a little bit of a discussion. I won't get all the details of it, but we were talking about something that was kind of out of the box. And it's something that I process, I think about. Because like I shared, I think it was last week, wasn't it? The incarnation, that when Christ came and incarnated in human flesh, deity, it wasn't the only incarnation. Every time we receive God into our hearts, into our lives, our spirit comes alive to God, he incarnates in us again. And so the same potential that Jesus walks with, we walk with. And to go even above and beyond that, John says that as he is now, so are we in this world. So he even has a resurrected body. He even has, you know, all the glorious, I guess, condition that he's in from his death, burial, and resurrection. And as he is now, so are we in this world. Now, again, as we hear that, some of us just go click because we have no frame of reference for it. Some of us hear it because that kind of makes sense, what he's saying. And the only way that you're going to get to the next level in that is to process that. Now, that's an example. You guys don't have to go after that one. How about I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me? I mean, if Christians would set their heart on that simple scripture, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, of course, you could say, well, that was Paul saying that. That's not me. He's identifying with a reality and a truth that nothing's impossible for God, and we're in God. But to walk in that truth, what's going to have to happen? You're going to have to think about it. You're going to have to get to the place where it becomes a structure inside of you. It becomes something that is complete with life applications, that's into a comprehensive interlocking whole. In other words, it's something that's tangible. It's not just out there, ethereal. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So it means a difficulty will come up and you'll say, well, wait a minute. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And maybe that's change a flat tire. You're going like, I've never changed a flat tire. And, you know, I can't do it. It's like difficult. This is probably more for women. Most men can change a flat tire. But you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. And I say, well, I don't have the strength to jack it up or anything like that. But you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. See, the thing is that we can either let our circumstances and our conditions dictate to us what's possible, or we can say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'm not good at school, but I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Well, that's really pushing it now, because now you're talking about your mental ability and your ability to reason, you know, maybe math. Say you're horrible at math. I'm just horrible at math. But you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. So what is that saying? Well, even though my natural person is saying I'm horrible at math, God says something different. You say, well, that's not what that means. Well, why is that? Because of your framework for what I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me means. So until we absorb, until we chew, until we, you know, Joshua, I think 1:8 says, you know, to meditate on the word day and night, to chew on it, then you know, as you do that, your way is going to be prosperous and you're going to have great success. That's what that's talking about. Joshua, I want you know, David says, I think about you and your word on my bed as I'm laying there at night. How many do that? Or how many just go to sleep? Or in the morning, what do you think about? When you're at work, do you just think about all day long, all your jobs that you have to do? Sometimes a work requires that. But other times, you can think about other things. I'm just telling you that to become who we're called to be is going to require understanding. And it's going to require comprehensive interlocking. It's going to require work. Ooh, did I say it? It is. It's going to require work. I wish we could all just get understanding like Paul said, you know? I pray the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened. That would be awesome if it was just a finished work. But it doesn't happen that way. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. In other words, wisdom is the priority. Now, how many know what the key to wisdom is? Anybody? The key to wisdom. How do you get wisdom? Well, guess what? It's the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Without the fear of the Lord, you're not going to have wisdom. Now, you can have common sense, but you won't have wisdom. Wisdom is divine. Wisdom is supernatural. I truly believe that. Wisdom is not of this world. It can be applied to things of this world. Solomon had wisdom that was from God, and he knew about animals. He knew about trees. He knew about all of nature. He had people coming from all over the world to hear his wisdom. But his wisdom was not natural. It was from God. But he did not have common sense because he married over 1,000 wives and 700 concubines or something like that. And they caused him to go astray from the Lord. So you can have wisdom, but sometimes you lack common sense even. So in all you're getting, though, get understanding. Look at that. This is Solomon. He's saying, listen, wisdom is the first thing, but you know what you need to go along with it? You need understanding. In other words, you may know something, but do you understand fully how it works in your life? You may be able to quote verses. I mean, you guys may be able to quote verses better than me, but do you know how they apply to your life? Because if you don't know how they apply to your life, it's just words. I'm telling you right now. Until the word becomes flesh in you, until it takes on form, they're just words. They could be the greatest words from the Bible. Until they take on flesh and blood, they're just words. And understanding helps them take on flesh and blood. See, can you hear me now? In other words, are you allowing your heart to hear this word to the place where you go, okay, I need to change some things about how I even view what I know about God. I need to change my mode of operandi as a Christian to the place where I start taking on and understanding what he's already given me. Not to mention what he wants for you to walk in the future.
I didn't put what I was saying.
Oh, this is very interesting. So this is Jesus. I think it's Matthew something. Anyway, it's in the Bible. It's where Jesus is being asked the question, you know, what are the greatest commandments? And he ends up telling someone, and to love him with all the heart, with all the understanding, with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself. Now, this is interesting. He's saying that to love God, you've got to use your understanding. One of the ways that we love him is with our understanding. And he says, this is a commandment that is the greatest. Not just to love him with your heart. Most of us just love Jesus with our heart. I mean, that's easy. Because, you know, we just look at our current condition and say, wow, I love you with my heart because I really need you, Lord. It's easy to love him with your heart, right? And even with your soul, because you know it's all messed up. I mean, we know that we've got baggage from the past. We have things that have happened to us. And so we can love him with our soul. Lord, just change me, just transform me. But to love him with your understanding means you've got to work. You've got to think about what he's doing for you. You got to think about what he's done for you. You've got to meditate on him, on his word. Not meditate in such a way you just memorize the scripture, that it becomes flesh. And it says that all of this is more than any of the burnt offering and sacrifices. So you got to love him with your understanding, just as much as you love him with your heart, soul, and your strength. Can you hear me now? In other words, can we truly hear what he's saying? What did it say at the very beginning? If you have ears to hear, then hear. If you have ears to hear, then hear. So what would you say? If we don't have ears to hear, then what should we be praying for? At least ears to hear. Now, I know I'm holding my physical. I'm talking about our heart that is ready to hear. I'm talking about a heart that maybe needs to be prepared by God to, you know, till up some hard ground, break some of that fallow ground so that something can really penetrate and change. Now, all of us have gone on a journey, and all of us has changed to a certain extent. But God really has great expectations for us. And not that he's disappointed in us. That's not what I'm trying to say. But I'm telling you, he has given you so much more, given me so much more than what we've walked in, that the Spirit of God is saying, come on, family. Come on, kids. Come on, children. Yeah, how does Barb do it? Like, she'll like, come on, this is important. This is where we're at in this day. I need you to get this because I've given you all that I can give you. I hate to tell you, we're not getting any more than what we've already got. Some people are just saying, oh God, if you just send your spirit. Well, I did send my spirit. Oh God, if you would just change me. Well, I did change you. You're just not walking in the change that I've already done. So what is the disconnect? The disconnect is how much have we heard and understood? So I would challenge you this year to read your Bible from a perspective of gaining understanding. And that may mean you read one verse next year. Ugh, one verse? What's that going to do? Well, if it's the right verse, it'll transform your life. The end of that year, someone will say, what happened to you? You know, and you may be quoting other scriptures. How do you know all that? Well, you gained understanding in a verse that transformed and changed your life. See, you don't have to know the whole Bible. You don't have to be eloquent in speech. You don't have to be, you know, somebody that impresses somebody else. All you have to be is somebody who applies himself to what God's already given you. Can you hear him now? Can you hear what the Spirit is saying to us? In a way, saying, wake up. Rub the sleep out of your eyes. Look around in your heart and see all that I've done. See, as I said, the one that created everything. Last week we looked at a background of a part of the universe that looked, you know, just amazing. And you know, that was some, you know, billions of light years away. And yet the one that did that, created that, and put everything into the balance that it is, inhabits you. You're not lacking anything. That's why it says that he's given us all things that pertains to life and godliness. Why? Because he's given us himself. You don't lack any good thing, or you don't lack any God thing. It's all there. The only thing you lack is understanding. And the only way you get understanding is to start applying yourself. I was listening to someone preach, and I said, wow, the message was amazing. It was funny and everything. I said, that's an amazing message. And I just thought, I said, you know, how do I apply that towards my life? Can I apply that towards my life? Will that bring a full transformation to me? I just started asking those questions. Because I don't believe that we're to stay as we are. I mean, is there a grace for it? Absolutely. There's a grace for everything in our lives. But there's a greater grace to walk in the glory that God has preordained for us to walk in. To walk in works and a mission that God's preordained for us to walk in. But we got to hear him now. Amen. Go ahead and stand with me. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I just thank you that we can hear you, that we can have ears to hear, and that we can get understanding. And Father, I just release over us right now, Lord, a supernatural touch from heaven, a supernatural understanding, a supernatural grace, empowerment, Lord, to get understanding. Lord, when we are distracted by the other things of life, when we're being overwhelmed, Lord, with pressures and things not going right, and when just it looks like all hell is breaking loose around us, Lord, I pray that you would just help us to remain in a place of looking towards you. Jesus, you are the author of our faith. You are the finisher of our faith. Lord, help us to set our eyes on you. Help us to keep our ears attentive to you, where we hear that still small voice, Holy Spirit, and we're obedient to it. Help us to put things together, Lord. Help us to be disciplined enough, Lord, to keep chewing on something, to keep processing your word, to keep allowing it to penetrate deep into us, Lord, where it becomes flesh. We thank you, Lord, that you've given us all things, your word says, that pertains to life and godliness, that we don't lack any good or God thing. You have given us everything that we need. So, Lord, help us to gain understanding of what we have. Help us to gain understanding of who we are. Help us to gain understanding, Lord, of what we are even to become. We thank you, Jesus, that you are the door. You are the portal. You are the opening to everything that we need from God. And we come to you, Lord. We come to you and we cast every care we have, every burden we have, every heartache we have, every baggage we have at your feet. So that we can walk in freedom. So we can walk in revelation and knowledge that is from the throne room. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for being the one that rescued us, for being the one that purchased us, and now we're your prized possession. Thank you, Father, that this coming new year is a year of light and revelation and understanding of who you are and who we are in you. I receive and we receive the truth, Lord, that will make us free. The truth, Lord, that is reality, not some false impression appearing real. Thank you, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are the teacher of truth. Reveal your truth to us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
My life is in the hands of the Maker of heaven. I lean not on my own understanding. My life is in the hands of the Maker of heaven. I give not on my own understanding. Yeah, my life is in the hands of the Maker of heaven. I lean not on my own understanding. My life is in the hands of the Maker of heaven.
I give it all.
I give it all to you, God. Trust in that you'll make something beautiful out of me. I give it all to you, God. Trust in that you'll make something beautiful out of me. So I will climb this mountain with my hands wide open. I will climb this mountain with my hands wide open. I will climb this mountain with my hands wide open. I will climb this mountain with my hands wide open. I lean not on my own understanding. My life is in the hands of the Maker of heaven. I lean not on my own understanding. My life is in the hands of the Maker of heaven.
I give it all.
I give it all to you, God. Trust in that you'll make something beautiful out of me. I give it all to you, God. Trust in that you'll make something beautiful out of me. So I will climb this mountain with my hands wide open. I will climb this mountain with my hands wide open. I will climb this mountain with my hands wide open. I will climb this mountain with my hands wide open. I lean not on my own understanding. My life is in the hands of the Maker of heaven. I lean not on my own understanding. My life is in the hands of the Maker of heaven.
Thank you, Lord. Yeah, Lord, we don't want to lean on our own understanding. But we want to have, Lord, the understanding that comes from the reality and the truth, Lord, that you give us. Thank you for this day. Lord, thank you, God, for just the season that you've given us. And Lord, I pray that you just go with everyone, be with them today, and just bless our time the rest of this day. In Jesus' name, amen. And go Hawks, right? Go Hawks.
Amen.
Amen. Is anybody going to come and stand in proxy for the Hawks?